This is Digital Story Podcast number 729, March 10th, 2020. Today's theme is My Approach to Coronavirus in 2020. I'm Derek Storr. Having seen my fair share of natural disasters over the last few years, I refined my approach to decision-making in challenging situations. My inclination is to get the facts, evaluate their potential implications, and build a course of action based on that information. Coronavirus is the latest phenomenon for us to contend with, and today I'll talk about my approach as a journalist and an artist to the threats and fears surrounding it. As an aside, just for a second, I was thinking back to my life 10 years ago and just how simple it seemed in comparison to today. Before we start, I want to say if anyone in our community is under the weather as a result of seasonal flu or COVID-19, I truly hope you feel better soon. I hope this show helps you feel just a little bit better. I care about everyone in our community. So we all know about the headlines, the stock market's recent dive, supply chain difficulties for the technology industry, and the lack of a vaccine for COVID-19, and the introduction of a new term, social distancing. But what I think about would be most productive for our time together today is for me to relay what I've witnessed firsthand over the last couple weeks, then talk about plans moving forward for our community. So I'll start with some firsthand accounts from recent activity, just to paint a picture of what I've seen directly, and then we'll get into what I think the rest of the year means for our community. Okay, so I have five things on my list here. Sharks versus Maple Leafs at SAP Center, and that was a little over a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I think. Warriors versus the 76ers at Chase Center. Holiday Inn Express in Burlingame, I stayed there. Cancellation of jobs by LinkedIn and others. And questions about the Digital Story Workshops. Those have been kind of the five things I've been directly involved in over the last couple of weeks as they relate to coronavirus and, you know, what people are thinking and feeling. So the two games that I went to, Sharks versus Maple Leafs at SAP Center in San Jose, California, and Warriors versus 76ers at Chase Center in San Francisco, California, in a lot of ways, it was business as usual, to tell you the truth. I didn't see, you know, people wearing masks. I didn't notice a real big change in the mood or even the number of people that were attending the games. They weren't full capacity, either one of them, but I don't think that was due to coronavirus. I think that had more to do with the Sharks and the Warriors are struggling this year. And we're late in both of their seasons, and you're just not going to get the turnouts that you would normally get for a winning team as they push toward the playoffs, which neither of them are going to enjoy this year, okay? However, I did see some steps taken at both places. There was hand sanitizer in the restrooms. So as you entered the restroom, there was a hand sanitizer dispenser there that you could use. There were notices put out by both teams about, okay, here's, you know, what's going on, here's what we think, and here's some things we'd like you to keep in mind while you're at the center. And I thought all of that was pretty good stuff. I enjoyed both games a lot, and they were both good experiences, and I'm glad I went. At the Holiday Inn Express in Burlingame, which is was my jumping off point for the Warriors game, because my boys came up from San Jose, and I came down from Santa Rosa. We thought it would be great just to hang out there for a night, not have to go back to our respective places, you know, right after the game at Chase Center. And I did notice a big change at the Holiday Inn Express this last weekend, in that there was hardly anyone there. And I'm going, whoa, you know, what's going on here? And I found out that there had been a tremendous number of cancellations for the weekend. So that was the first time I really saw, outside of my own world, someone truly being impacted with their business. And it was very quiet there. In all honesty, it surprised me a bit because it's not a really hot area, but yet cancellations really rolled in for the weekend and really hurt their business. Then I got a notice when I got back from that, from LinkedIn. And basically what they said was they're closing down their author headquarters. So there's going to be no author visits for the rest of March. I had a visit scheduled. I was going to record a title on backing up and archiving your digital media. And so that had been postponed or will be rescheduled or, you know, however it ends up being handled, I don't know. But I would say then that was my first direct contact with a business decision that affected my business, not individual customers, but a business that I work with. Whenever someone makes a choice like that, you know, I will say right up front that I respect the choices that people make to protect themselves and their employees. And then finally, I've received a lot of questions about the Digital Story Workshops, not only the one that is happening next week in Los Angeles, but also workshops up the road as well. You know, the one in Humboldt Redwoods that we have scheduled for May. Then in July, we're at Lassen. And then in early October, we're up in Eastern Sierra. And I have received questions about those and have been fielding those and communicating, you know, with people. And I'm going to cover my responses to all of that after I finish, you know, this first part here. So while I've been in public, I've seen very little coughing in the North Bay, in San Francisco, and in the South Bay, where I've spent actually quite a bit of time moving around recently. However, I treat every surface now outside my house as a potential germ spreader. So everything, doorknobs, countertops, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, I look at it much differently now than I looked at it, you know, a few months ago for sure. And I'm very careful not to touch my face until I can thoroughly wash my hands, especially if I've been out in public and have been, you know, touching other surfaces. So, you know, that's definitely an adjustment, you know, that I have made in recent weeks as a result of all of this. When I arrived at the Holiday Inn Express, I brought disinfectant wipes with me and I wiped down the room. And I'm sure they did as well before I got there, but, you know, I don't know for sure. So doorknobs, phones, remote controls, countertops, you know, all of that got a good, you know, once over with my disinfectant wipes. And then I also carry tissues and folded paper towels in my pocket now. So if I do have to touch my face, you know, sometimes you just get like that crazy itch, right, around the eye or whatever. And so now I just use a tissue to address that if I don't have time to wash my hands before. And, you know, that's worked out very well. And then I've been keeping my phone, my laptop, my iPad, and my cameras clean. You know, I'm working on keeping my hands clean all the time. But you don't know, and, you know, there could be times when you just forget you're... It's hard to be conscious every minute, I'm sure, as, you know, you're aware, too, because you're probably thinking about these same things. So then, just realizing that I'm not going to be perfect in this area, I think, okay, it doesn't hurt to wipe down all these things, you know, once a day, just to try to stay on top of all this. I've done other stuff, too. I've added an hour of sleep every night, and I've increased my water intake using the refillable bottle that I always have with me now. And my thinking there is to be as healthy as possible, because that helps my immune system for not only COVID-19, but seasonal flu, for colds, for, you know, anything else. I'm thinking everything right now, not just, you know, one particular strain of virus. So I don't want any downtime for any reason, to tell you the truth. I'm also getting as much fresh air as possible and maintaining my exercise routine. And I really want to be strong right now. I mean, I think that's one thing that I'm really feeling. I want to be strong right now, as strong as possible. And I also don't want to have like this constant environment in my nose and throat that's good for virus. Virus loves that sort of stuff. So I'm going out into the cold air. I'm coming in and out. I'm exercising. I'm taking nice deep breaths when I go out into the cold air, cool air at night. And I just don't want to, you know, create a great environment for those little guys to congregate, because COVID-19 and a lot of seasonal flu actually begins, you know, up in the nasal area in the throat. And then, of course, you know, the battle is to keep it from going down into the lungs, which, you know, nobody wants that. But I don't even want it to get started in my nose and throat. So, you know, I'm working on that as well. In terms of social distancing, I've really thought a lot about this. And I've decided that under the current circumstances, for me anyway, I'm going to continue to interact with others. I would say normally, but that's not true really, because I'm not going to be handshaking and I'm not going to be hugging. I'm not going to be doing that kind of stuff right now, which feels very awkward for me. I've had a few situations where just naturally I go to shake someone's hand and then, you know, both of us go, hi, hi, how you doing? That kind of thing. And I don't know if you run into that, but it's so weird. So my plan is, okay, I'm not going to be hugging. I'm not going to be shaking hands. And I'm going to be doing that stuff, but I am going to meet with you. I don't mind hanging out with you. And as long as you're not coughing, I'm fine. I'm fine being out in public. I really am. So I'm not worried too much about that. And I guess if I were in a different area where we had, you know, more cases and it was more intense, you know, I would reevaluate that. But right now, where I'm working, where I'm living, where I've traveled to, I don't see any reason for me to avoid other people. I'm just not going to be hugging them, okay? I'm just going to continue to go about my work, in all honesty. In terms of our workshop season for 2020, I'll say that I do not anticipate any changes to our schedule. We're in Los Angeles this week, and even though we will be out in public a fair amount, Los Angeles itself isn't really a hot spot right now. The Johns Hopkins page that monitors all that is really useful. So Los Angeles isn't a particularly bad place right now. And I'm going to report on what I observed and experienced in Los Angeles for the street photography experience in next week's show. So you'll probably want to tune in and hear about that, because it is a completely different area for me than where I have been working and traveling lately, which is in the South Bay, in San Francisco, and in the North Bay. It covers a big area, but LA is a whole different area. And, you know, I'm going to be really exploring everything there. And I will include an update on, you know, what I see along with the normal reporting about the workshop. A lot of times lately, I haven't gone into depth about workshop reporting. However, I'm going to more for this next one, just because of the environment that we're in right now. In Santa Monica, where we're going to be based, we have our own cottage, which I can wipe down. It doesn't have traffic going through it. It's ours, just ours, during the course of the workshop. And then when we're out in public, we're going to practice appropriate hygiene for the times that we live in. And I anticipate that we're going to have a great time. Now, the subsequent events, they're all in remote locations. So Humboldt, Lassen, and Eastern Sierra. Those will be easy for me to maintain clean environments in all those venues. We're going to be out in some fresh air. Population is not dense in any of those areas. And even as the headlines continue to roll in over the next few months, I don't really anticipate any problems in those areas. So we're going to go about our business as usual at those particular workshops. And one thing I want to say personally is that I'm looking forward to escaping the daily headlines for a few days and just immerse in my photography. It has been a crazy time, and quite frankly, I need a break from it all. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to think about photography and taking care of my folks that are there, and let the world do its thing for a few days, and then I'll check back in after I get back from the workshop. I'm talking about all of this not in order to make recommendations for you. That's not my point at all. You have your own process, right? And, you know, your process is your process, and I respect that. But since our lives are intertwined, I want you to know how I plan to move forward for the course of the year, because I think it's important for you to know where I stand and what you can count on. And, you know, if these things change that I'm talking about in this segment, then I will update my plans based on those facts, and I'll communicate them to you. So here's what you can count on me for in 2020. The podcast will continue to publish weekly on Tuesdays. Regular posts will continue to flow to thedigitalstory.com, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm going to maintain my photography jobs with clients, and best I can, my teaching for LinkedIn Learning and Lynda. And I'm going to continue to have workshops in great locations throughout California. My prediction is that 2020 is going to be a tough financial year for me and many other solopreneurs. But I have built in diversity to help offset these kinds of events. We have a loyal Patreon audience. I have level-headed photography clients. And I have the ability to develop new products quickly in a changing environment. So I think I will be able to tread water and get through this year. There may not be much that you feel like you can depend on right now, but know that this corner of your world is going to be here for you. I'll see you next week once I return from Southern California, and the week after that, and the week after that. You have a film camera that needs a good home. So last week I talked about two folks in particular, one from Phoenix, Arizona, the other from Austin, Texas, who went the extra mile to make sure that they made a donation for the film camera shop. And I've received their items, and I'm just really impressed with how much kind effort they put into this project to make sure that it worked for them. Another gentleman from here in California, who's actually been to one of my workshops, Scott. He also put together a box and shipped it off to me. And I'm just going, right on, Scott. I just truly appreciate you doing this. I'm already working on those items. And once I get back from Los Angeles, I'm going to put the stuff that I have ready in the film camera shop and get it out into the world. And then keep working on the rest of the stuff and keep getting it out there. So all of you, thank you so much who've made your donations. If you want to contribute, all you have to do is go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on the contact form, just send me your basic information, and I'll get back to you and we'll figure it out from there. And a big thanks to those who have done exactly that. The upcoming iPhone 12 Pro may pack a 64 megapixel camera. I just could not resist talking about this, even though it is, you know, there's asterisks and, you know, all that kind of stuff all around it. This is speculation at its best. But you can read the entire article on Petapixel. I have a link to it in the show notes. But let me read you a little bit about this. I'm fascinated by it, and, it'd be interesting to see what you think too. I'll go ahead and just read a few paragraphs from the article. If you use an iPhone and megapixels are your thing, the upcoming iPhone 12 may delight you with its camera specs. A new leak suggests that Apple is working to stuff a 64 megapixel sensor into its next top-of-the-line smartphone. The leaked details were shared by the popular YouTube channel Everything Apple Pro, which received the information from tech leaker Max Weinbach, who nailed several iPhone leak details in 2019. Quote, for the first time in years, Apple will be crossing the megapixel threshold that they've been at for quite some time, which is 12 megapixels, and bumping up the sensor quality potentially up to 64 megapixels. End quote. Philip Kilroy of Everything Apple Pro says in the 12-minute video, quote, Weinbach is reporting that they're testing various sensor sizes. 64 megapixels would be the Sony sensor, very likely, and Apple will be focusing heavily on the camera for iPhone 12 Pro. The aperture of the ultra-wide lens on the next iPhone will reportedly be bumped up in size from f2.4 to around f1.6 or 1.7, possibly to allow for night mode when using that camera. and the minimum focusing distance is said to be decreasing on the ultra-wide camera, allowing for macro photos to be shot with it. Other features and specs Weinbach is hearing include the improved smart HDR, a bigger battery by about 10%, and 120Hz display, and of course, 5G. So that is a lot of stuff in the rumor mill. I say, if even some of it is true, it's going to be pretty exciting. You know, this is a camera that, you know, in one brand or another, whether it's Apple or Samsung or Google or whomever, Sony, that we all carry with us and use. And the fact that these kinds of specs continue to roll in for upcoming models, possible upcoming models, I think is really sort of mind-boggling, because you're combining this sort of stuff with computational photography. So it's just totally wild. I'm fascinated by it, and I thought you might be interested as well. Just a quick update on the workshop season. We're going to be down in Santa Monica in Los Angeles this coming weekend. I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm going to report on that, you know, for all the reasons that I mentioned at the top of today's show in next week's podcast. So if you're curious about what happened in LA, tune in and you'll find out. And those of you that are joining me in Los Angeles, I tell you, I am really excited about this. I am locked and loaded, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go out to Venice Beach. I'm ready to go to Muscle Beach. I'm ready to go to downtown LA. I am just ready to shoot some street photography pictures, I'm telling you, all right? So anyway, so that's going to be happening, and I'll report on that next week. Humboldt Redwoods on May 12th through 14th. We're in very good shape there right now. We have a full boat, I believe. And we're getting the room reservations all squared away and all that stuff. If you're a participant in that, we're looking really good. I'm working with the Redwood Riverwalk Hotel, and they are being their magnificent selves, as they were last year. And this is another cool thing where, boy, once we get up there and we're in those redwood groves and we're out by the Eel River, and you know, we're going to go up to Trinidad this year, which is just another wonderful spot. We're going to be in nature, breathing clean air. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. So those of you that are joining me for that, just hang on to that vision, you know, while you're going through all the wacky stuff that you're going through now, because you will find it truly refreshing. I haven't sent out reservation forms yet for Lassen Volcanic, and that's coming up July 16th through 18th. I'm probably going to wait until later on in March before I do that. We're all squared away on our place, you know, so that's not a problem. We have our cabin up at Lake Almanor. We have our itinerary all figured out. We have all that sort of stuff figured out. So you know, we don't have to worry about people having a place to stay, because everyone who's on the reserve list has a place to stay right now. So no worries there. So if you're on that particular list and you're wondering why we haven't seen reservation forms yet, we just haven't needed to do it. You know, your place is secure, your accommodations are secure, and we'll take care of the reservation, the final reservations here a little bit later this month. And then on the Eastern Sierra Photography Workshop, we have our dates set for October 1 through 3 up in the Eastern Sierra. And we're going to be staying in Bridgeport, and we'll be staying at the Silver Maple Inn, and we have a great thing going on there. And I'm going to probably start contacting those of you that are on that list in April, and we'll start our plans for that. But again, I have everything nailed down for that workshop. We're all ready to go. You know, we'll start working on the final step for you probably in April. If you have any questions at any time, just go ahead and send me an email or use the contact form on thenimblephotographer.com. And if you're interested in getting on the wait list for any of these, just go ahead and do that. Just use the contact form on thenimblephotographer.com, and I'll definitely get you on that wait list. All right, just a little virtual camera club news to wrap up with. I want to thank our Inner Circle members. Now more than ever, you are valuable to this community. if you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member and really, you know, helping us through 2020, I would totally appreciate that. All you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story, and you can go over to our page, take a look, and if you wish, sign up and join us. We have tiles for both B&H and Amazon on all the pages of the Digital Story. And the links that are in the show notes that take you over to those sites, those are affiliate links. And in those cases, when you click on those links or you click on those tiles, that helps support the show. And those that make that extra step, come over to our site first, click on a tile, and then go over to Amazon or B&H via that tile. Thank you so much for taking that extra step. And in most cases, we get a little bit of affiliate money when you do that, but it doesn't cost you anything more. And finally, a huge thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. They are the folks that not only supply, I think, the widest variety of inkjet printing paper that I know of by any one company, but they also provide inspiration, they provide knowledge, they provide a variety of products outside of the paper, such as ink envelopes and glassine sleeves, and they are truly great people. This is a great combination. Thank you so much, Red River Paper, for being our longest-running sponsor. And if you want to get your fine art printing on, start there. Click on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story, or go over to their Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper and make some beautiful art. All right, that's going to do it for me today. I'm heading down to Los Angeles. Come back next week and find out what happened there. In the meantime, you have a great week. Stay safe, and I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.